Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your flexibility in allowing me to present this morning. I would like to provide an update on WHO's work on the Global Guidance Framework on Responsible Use of Life Sciences and our foresight activities. As many of you will know, WHO has been working in these and related areas for over five decades. In fact, in the 1960s, there was a group of experts who had worked on one of the key reports of the health aspects of chemical and biological weapons. More recently, WHO has created a science division, and within the science division, we are now working actively on monitoring and reviewing science and technology. And we work closely with our colleagues from the WHO Emergencies Program. Within the science division, I lead the unit on emerging technologies, research prioritization, and support. And there we have enhanced our monitoring systems of science and technology, recognizing the transformational opportunities they pose for global health, but also recognizing the potential risks that can be associated. Within that, we start from an upstream consideration of the risk identification and monitoring. We consider mitigation approaches and mechanisms. Together with our colleagues across the WHO, we work on our risk assessment, and our colleagues in the emergency program lead the risk management aspects. We have three main areas of work. One is horizon scanning and the foresight function, and I'll come back to that in a moment. I will then provide an update on our global guidance framework on responsible use of life sciences. And finally, we are actively working on collaborating and engaging with multiple stakeholders with the recognition that these areas of work are relevant to many different groups, and we have a joint responsibility to work together. Further information on all of our work is available on our web pages, and we have different web pages. We are also developing animatic videos to increase awareness and engage with different audiences. Finally, a note to say that we have been leading the activity one of the UN BioRisk Working Group. Many of those present today have been working with us, and I thank them for that. A quick word on the WHO foresight function. It is recognized in WHO's 13 general program of work that WHO needs to be informed by developments at the very frontier of new scientific disciplines. And we recognize how these advances in science and technology can really pose exceptional opportunities for global health. But we are also acutely aware of some of the risks that are related to those advances. Within the foresight function, we have the opportunity to identify early and proactively different applications of life sciences, but also other technologies. I believe the audience here is all acutely aware of how there are convergent areas and new sectors that will also have an impact on health and global health, such as digitalization, artificial intelligence, but also material sciences, including nanotechnology, but others. To conduct our foresight function, we utilize a variety of different methods. We include expert consultations. We have implemented different Delphi-type studies. And we are also careful, as per all of our WHO work, to make sure that we are inclusive and we have truly global representation and understanding and different perspectives. The work is relevant to all levels of the organization and globally. So while we are based here at headquarters in Geneva, we work very closely and we need to work increasingly with regional level and at the member state level. As we monitor the advances in science and technology, we need to not only identify them early, but also actively think and proactively discuss how we need to inform decision making and what needs to be done today to ensure that we have the optimal future scenario that we would like to strive to. We are, as Dr. Kojima alluded to in his presentation, we are actively working on the updating and development of a Global Guidance Framework on Responsible Use of Life Sciences. As we recognize the changes that have been in the landscape of science and technology, we spent a significant part of last year conducting a series of dialogues and engagement efforts across the research cycle, engaging with those parties that fund research, those actually conducting research through the scientists and academies and councils, and of course the groups that disseminate the results, so the science editors and publishers. More recently, since early 2021, we have been conducting a series of consultative meetings and thematic working groups. These meetings include a very wide and broad group of stakeholders, and they have been extremely prolific. In fact, I was discussing with the team that over just the summer months, we've had over 25 meetings. And I would really like to thank everybody who's been involved, and many of you are present here in the room today or connected online. So thank you very much for your ongoing engagement. As these thematic groups work in the different areas, we will also be able to have public consultations. We want to make sure that this guidance will be as inclusive and reflect the perspectives of different stakeholders in different contexts as much as possible. The guidance really aims to provide information, option, and guidance for member states and other relevant stakeholders to best implement approaches for responsible use of life science and thinking about mechanisms and tools to mitigate the risks related to biorisk. The first working group is looking in particular at the principles and values that we need to have to underpin this global guidance framework and to guide policies in future. A second working group is focusing on the tools and mechanisms, reviewing what exists and how we can collate that and how we can use the best practices to address the risks of accident and misuse in the life sciences. And a final working group is really addressing the challenges and recommendations to ensure that we can raise awareness, education, capacity building, and engagement activities across all of the different stakeholders and parties involved. This work is ongoing, but we aim to have a draft of the Global Guidance Framework by early 2022. I would like to acknowledge all of the people involved, and in particular, I would really like to thank everybody who's been part of the expert groups, the various working groups, and the consultations and the contributors. We immensely appreciate your time and effort throughout this work. And thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.